Thanks so much for joining us today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mehler here. Before we start our next segment, I just wanted to mention that we'll be broadcasting our show live from Bayfield in Bloom on May 31st. And I hope you can join me as we broadcast Garden Talk live. We'll be right on the beautiful Lake Superior shore. And as always, I'll be taking calls and questions, talk with expert guests from the area. It's one of my favorite events of the year, and I'd love to see you there. Doors open at 10:30. Event is free, but we've encouraged you to reserve your spot at wpr.org/presents. wpr.org/presents. It's Bayfield and Bloom on May 31st. Turn our attention now to weight loss drugs. Weight loss drugs are grabbing a lot of headlines these days. Today, we're going to take a closer look at those drugs, why they can work, and the pros and cons of using them with our guest, Dr. Joseph Pfeiffer. He's a bariatric and general surgeon at Gunderson Health System, which will soon, by the way, be called Amplify Health. Dr. Pfeiffer is based in La Crosse, works as the metabolic and bariatric surgery director, the associate program director for the general surgeon's surgery residency program, and the associate program director for the advanced GI MIS bariatric fellowship program. So as we talk with Dr. Pfeiffer, hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about using weight loss drugs like Ozempic? That Ozempic song, it runs through my brain pretty often. If you watch any television, you've certainly seen that commercial. Maybe you have questions about other weight loss methods. Love to have you part of the conversation. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Josh Pfeiffer, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks a lot for having me on.
The word obese, you know, that gets used a lot. When is a person considered medically obese?
It's a great question. You know, actually, we're, as a society, moving away from the word obesity, interestingly, but we typically talk about obesity as when somebody carries more weight than is healthy. And we look at a term or calculation called BMI, which is a ratio of your height to weight. And obesity starts at a BMI of 30. And there's calculators you can find online. But then there's different ranges. You can have BMIs 35, 40, and upwards, as high as it can go. So...
All right, 30. So 30 is the magic number?
30 is the magic number for obesity. 25 to 30 is considered overweight. These are not perfect numbers. There's lots of people who would be perfectly healthy with a BMI over 30, especially if they carry a lot of muscle mass. That will bump their weight up relative to their height. But in general, as our weight increases above that number, health conditions tend to arise that make us less healthy.
Yeah. So if I'm not sitting at 30 or 25 to 30, is that a time, if I'm not in that range, that I need to address this?
You know, addressing weight can start at a lot of different places. It's a lot easier to lose weight down to a healthy weight if you're barely above those thresholds, you know, in the mid upper 20s or low 30s. But as we get higher and higher, 35 and above 40, the traditional methods of weight loss, including diet and exercise, don't work as well. And so then we start talking about other options to help with weight loss.
Yeah. Why don't they work at those higher levels?
If I could answer that question, I would be a lot smarter than I am. But it's very complex. This is a complex chronic disease. And at some point, our bodies change in the way that it becomes much more difficult for a change in diet or increased activity to help us lose weight and keep the weight off. Most people can lose weight with a diet program or an exercise program, but keeping it off becomes a real issue. And losing weight in this yo-yo diet effect that a lot of people have been through is not a healthy way to live our lives. We need a sustained weight loss down to a healthier weight to help improve those other medical problems.
Thinking about the medical community's opinion on excess weight, let's put it that way, and how to treat it, has that changed much in the last several years?
Well, I think it's changed dramatically over the last few decades. First of all, the incidence or how often we see obesity as a problem has exploded in our country and in Western countries throughout the world. And it was about 10 years ago that the AMA decided to consider obesity as a disease rather than a personality problem or something that used to be considered. And so now we treat it like a disease. We look at it much like we used to look at asthma. Before asthma was characterized as a disease, it was treated differently and had a lot of bias against it. And we still see bias against obesity, but hopefully it's improving year after year.
Well, we wanted to talk about the new weight loss drugs that have been making headlines in the last few years. Why all the hype on it?
Well, we're seeing the most effective medications for weight loss that we've ever seen. And that has really changed the landscape of how we treat obesity. The new drugs are semaglutide, which is Wegovy or Ozempic, and tirzepatide, Zepbound, which is even more effective now, or Mounjaro, which is the diabetes version of that drug, are so effective they approach the effectiveness of weight loss surgery. And so a lot of people are interested in getting those, and they've obviously marketed them very well with the success that they're having.
Oh, my goodness, yes. The ads for Ozempic, for example, I mean, have you ever sat down to watch television at night and not seen an Ozempic ad?
My children sing the song routinely. So, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, so how do they work then? What do they do?
They affect a protein called GLP-1, glucagon-like protein, which is a gut hormone that is made in the stomach and the surrounding organs there. And it really basically slows down emptying of the stomach is one of the main ways that it works. So when you eat, you get full really fast, and you stay full for a long time.
And it's as simple as, well, I'm sure it's not a simple process that's going on in your body.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously much more complex. It also affects the way that you absorb sugars. So these medications were originally used to help treat diabetes. And so it makes your insulin more effective in a way so that it helps to improve your blood sugar levels down to normal in patients who have type 2 diabetes.
So the two we've mentioned Ozempic. Is there Wegovy? Is that the other one?
Wegovy and Ozempic are the same same base medication. Semaglutide is a generic form of that. Wegovy is the version used for weight loss, and Ozempic is the version used for diabetes.
Oh, okay. So there are differences between Ozempic and Wegovy.
Yeah, mainly the concentration of that's used. Higher concentrations are used for weight loss.
And are there other drugs available as well?
Yeah, so the other new one that many people have heard of now is called tirzepatide, or Zepbound, is the obesity-treating medication, and Mounjaro is the diabetes version of that drug.
And how are they administered?
They're an injectable drug once weekly.
So that's all of them? Ozempic, Wegovy?
Correct.
Zepbound? So you have to inject yourself, I assume, if you're doing it once a week. You can't be running into the doctor's office.
Right. It's something you can do at home. You can, just like if you inject other medications like insulin for diabetes or other commonly used medications.
So what have been, what are the results that we're seeing with these drugs?
So... The average weight loss or the weight loss that you can get with Wegovy or Ozempic or semaglutide is up to 15%. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you'll lose up to 30 pounds on average, and that's pretty good. It's much better than the medications that have come before, things like Phentermine or Contrave, which have weight loss closer to 10% or just under.
Well, since they are so new, is there much research on the side effects and long-term usage?
Yeah, so the side effects have been well described and are getting some popularity in the press as well. The side effects commonly include nausea, which makes sense since the stomach emptying has been delayed, but can also be more significant, something called gastroparesis, which is paralysis of the stomach where it doesn't get better after you stop using the drug. You can have kidney damage from these medications. You can have inflammation of the pancreas, which can be very severe and dangerous. You can get thyroid tumors in your neck. Now, these are rare things that have happened mostly in animal models, but they're concerned that they may be a possible side effect or danger for humans, but we don't have that long-term history with the medications. As you point out, they're new.
So we don't know. Maybe we don't know then if you need to be taking these drugs forever to keep the weight off?
Well, so far the experience has shown if you take the medications, you pretty predictably lose weight. But once you stop, that weight tends to come back. And there's really pretty good evidence that if you want that weight to stay off forever, you probably will need to stay on that medication.
Yeah, and that's a lot to have to consider every week injecting yourself. I mean, people do it.
They do, but also the cost is another issue for these medications. Being so new, they're quite expensive.
Yeah, and I don't imagine that the insurance companies are real happy to support that cost.
There's a couple issues. The diabetes version of these medications, there's been shortages of those as well, and those often are covered by insurance because they do really improve the control of diabetes for certain patients. But the way that we're using these medications now is kind of we're losing that supply for patients who have type 2 diabetes. So they have limited supply for those.
No, so you can't get your hands on it. So it must be difficult to produce, or?
I think they are ramping up production as quickly as possible, but the demand is outpacing that significantly. I just saw a survey yesterday. 1 in 8 adults in the U.S. have used a GLP-1 medication for some reason. And 6% approximately are currently using these medications, either for medical problems like diabetes or for weight loss.
Wow. That registers into the millions of people by quite a long side. Charlotte in Milwaukee has a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Hey, I have a lot of friends that are doing the shot. I don't know exactly. I know I hear them say Wegovy and Ozempic. Now, and a lot of them were talking at a dinner party, and they were saying that they're needing to use glasses now. Their eyes are getting weaker. Is that something that you guys have heard more about?
There is a caution to be careful with diabetic retinopathy, which is where the eyes can be damaged during diabetes. And there's some concern that possibly you could have vision problems when using these medications. So it's something they should certainly talk to whoever is prescribing those medications for them and let them know, because it may mean they need to stop that medication.
Oh, yeah. So you definitely would not, if you're going to lose your eyesight, I mean, could you potentially lose your eyesight?
I'm not sure the severity of the changes. Again, with how new these are, I haven't heard of that, but the fact that they're bringing it up as a potential risk makes me worry that you'd want to address it right away.
Yeah. Charlotte, thank you very much for bringing that up. I appreciate it. And you can join in, too. A number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. Our guest today, Dr. Josh Pfeiffer, bariatric and general surgeon at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. He is going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Dr. Josh Pfeiffer. I'm Larry Mailer for WPR. Thanks so much for joining us today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mailer here. We're talking about weight loss drugs on the show today with our guest, Dr. Josh Pfeiffer, a bariatric and general surgeon at Gunderson Health System. It's soon to be called Amplify Health. Dr. Pfeiffer is based in La Crosse, works as the Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery Director, the Associate Program Director for the General Surgery Residency Program, and is the Associate Program Director for the Advanced GI MIS Bariatric Fellowship Program. So, are you currently using or maybe considering using weight loss drugs? What questions do you have? What have your experiences been? Love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We have a comment from Jerry, Dr. Pfeiffer, couldn't stay with us, but she says that she's been losing and gaining weight for years. But 20 years ago, she decided to make up a menu of things she likes to eat. She figured out the calories, and now she has been able to stay stable for more than 20 years, which is good for her.
Yeah, that's great.
Man, that is great. And she hasn't had to pay for Ozempic or any of the other drugs. What are the costs of paying out of pocket for those drugs?
Well, out of pocket for the brand name Wegovy is about $1,350 a month.
Ooh.
That's going to be around $16,000 a year. Most places, you know, just Google these, you can find at least $1,000 a month for the other medications Zepbound. So quite expensive.
And you know, there are what are they called? Compounding pharmacies? What are those and how do they relate to weight loss drugs?
Yeah, so compounding pharmacies are kind of a unique way to get medications that we often use for different dosing of medications or to take an ingredient out that somebody might be allergic to. They often can take a oral pill and make it into a different form, like a liquid or a chewable formulation. But they can also kind of compound medications that in a shortage to help provide medications. And so that's what they've been doing with weight loss medications and obesity medications. And under this shortage that we have, they've been making medications. The problem is that they don't have the actual active ingredient that's been FDA approved to put into these compounded medications.
Oh.
So there are different formulations of these active ingredients that are different salt formulations, and that's often what is used. But there's very little regulation of the compounding pharmacies, And so oftentimes you don't really know exactly what's in the compounded medication that you are getting.
That is not something that I would want to take.
It's much cheaper oftentimes than the brand name medications that you can, if you can get them. But again, yes, it's oftentimes cheaper because the active ingredient is this salt, like a salt version of the medication, where they've used different salt compositions to put into the compounded medication. And these, they haven't done the same studies on the salt formulations as they have on the base formulations, which is what's readily, which is what's available through the Wegovy or Zepbound.
Yeah. Have those been done in, say, Europe, but just not here?
Oh, no, those are being done here. If you look around online, you can readily find different places to purchase compounded forms of Wegovy and Zepbound, often advertised as the real thing, but plenty of lawsuits go along with that, as you can imagine, from the manufacturing companies as they try to protect their product.
Yeah. Chuck in Waterford is with us now. Let's go there. Chuck, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I took Ozempic for 5 weeks. I got severely ill, diarrhea, vomiting, and continuously for almost a week. I went to the emergency room. They told me to go to my doctor. I went to the doctor's office. They told me to stop taking Ozempic right away. Since then, I've been much, much better.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Chuck. Comment on that, Dr. Pfeiffer?
Absolutely. Anytime you start a medication, even if it's been tested and FDA approved and gone through the whole process, you might have reactions to that medication. So it's so important to have that prescribed through a provider who's going to follow you and the potential problems that can happen from starting a medication.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you stopped for using it, for sure. Well, it's been reported, and I don't know, I think it's true. It's been reported that businesses are starting weight loss programs that include these drugs at substantial savings. What are your thoughts on these programs?
So there's probably a couple ways to do that. One is to use a compounding pharmacy where you're getting the medication in a different form in a cheaper way. And the other is, you know, a lot of places will have a provider do a telehealth visit or something over the internet, and they don't really evaluate you, they don't follow you, and they don't have the follow-up that's needed to make sure that this is done in a safe way. And so I think it's especially risky in those situations to start a new medication that could potentially be harmful and not have the needed follow-up.
Yeah. What have you had to work over time, Dr. Pfeiffer, with a lot of patients on this, in this, just this whole area of the weight loss drugs?
Yes, absolutely. I've had many patients taking these prescribed in a safe way and also unprescribed from a compounding pharmacy, as well as friends, colleagues, and family. I mean, this is so widespread. You absolutely know somebody who's taking these medications.
Wow. The results are kind of mixed, as we're kind of hearing today on the show, or what's been your experience working with the patients?
Well, I think the risks are real, but the benefits are also very real. I mean, we can't forget that these are extremely effective medications. Even some of the compounded forms that people are having great success with weight loss. And so I, as a surgeon, as a medical provider, hear about the complications probably more than the average person coming in through the emergency room or through other colleagues that also treat patients with these medications. So there's mixed results, but mostly positive. But again, the risks are real.
Yeah. And celebrities. I know there are a lot of there may be a lot of celebrities. One that comes to mind using them is Oprah, who would probably sway a lot of people in that direction.
Yeah, these medications, as they ramp up production, as they become more available, lower cost, and a safe way, are really going to change the way that we treat obesity. But again, the reality is that once you stop that medication, the weight will come back. And so a sustainable weight loss option requires ongoing medication use.
So there's not, once you've gotten past the, you've gained too much weight that you're not going to lose it by diet and exercise. If you get your weight down, back down to within that range where you can, I would think that it would be possible to adjust by just adjusting your eating and your exercise.
And this is where the complexity of this disease really comes into play, because it makes sense that you should be able to. But we know that in the setting of, of sustained long-term excess weight, less than 5% of people, once they lose that weight, will keep it off long-term with the diet and exercise alone. And if they have diabetes, it's less than 1%. So it's very rare. It's a very difficult problem to treat long-term. And there are other long-term options, which include surgery, which have much better long-term results. And there's other medications and other programs. But, this is continuing to work against this chronic disease.
Let's talk about the surgeries. What happens, or what basically is happening with a surgery?
So there are several different kinds of surgeries that are done, but two of the main ones are something called a sleeve gastrectomy and a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. And these surgeries both restrict the amount of food you can eat, and the bypass takes the very beginning part of the intestine out of the flow of food. So it bypasses food around that part of the intestine. And it's the restriction along with the change in gut hormones that really affect your appetite and your feeling of fullness or satiety, like GLP-1, which is affected by surgery, that create a long-term, that help you lose weight and help you keep it off long-term beyond 5 and 10 years.
So, do insurance companies cover this?
Yes, many do. Much more cover bariatric surgery than cover medication at this point. And the insurance coverage in the state of Wisconsin, specifically 5 years ago, started covering surgery for state employees, which has really helped improve access to this care for the citizens of the state.
I have a sample of just one, and this goes back probably 23 or 24 years at least back. Someone I know had a gastric bypass, and the result, there was some infections and a whole lot of problems for that individual. And that was, more than 20 years ago. So
yeah.
Things have got to be better than they were then.
Sorry to hear about your friend and the problems they went through. Surgery has gotten much safer. It's one of the success stories in surgery, actually, the safety of weight loss surgery, bariatric surgery, over the last 20 to 40 years has really improved. We now do surgery through small incisions, whether it's laparoscopic or with the robot. So you have fewer infections in the incision, you have fewer hernias, and the safety of a gastric bypass surgery or a sleeve surgery is equivalent to the safety as a gallbladder surgery or a knee surgery now.
Oh, my goodness. So that is huge. Where, in order to qualify for, this surgery, and I'm thinking now in terms of insurance purposes, do you have to have a BMI number of some sort that would qualify you?
So the yes, so the recommendation is a BMI over 35 or a BMI over 30 with a medical problem like diabetes or high blood pressure or sleep apnea, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. Those would all qualify you for surgery from a medical standpoint. Now, insurance companies don't always follow the same guidelines, but typically if you have a BMI over 40, most insurance companies will follow that, which is the old criteria, and BMI over 35 with diabetes.
And when the surgery, all right, the surgery's done, you have the surgery, what is the time of feeling better? Let's put it that way. How quickly do we recover from this kind of a surgery?
Well, it's typically an overnight stay in the hospital. You're back to most normal activities within a day, including walking. You are eating differently for the first few weeks, more liquids as everything heals inside, focusing on protein. There's a lifting restriction with the surgery, as there often is. But within 3-4 weeks, you're back to all normal activities.
Wow. That's amazing. We should have some Ozempic-like commercials, perhaps.
For the surgery, huh?
For the surgery. We don't hear nearly as much about the surgery as we do about the Ozempic, for sure.
You know, there's still quite a bit of bias against obesity and extra weight in our society, and including in the medical field, and that carries through to surgery as well. 20 years is a short amount of time, and 20 years ago, people like yourself had friends and family that may have had trouble with surgery. But as the outcomes and the safety improve, I think hopefully we continue to have more access for people that are interested.
Yeah. And is this something where you don't want to go to the doctor who's doing it for the first time, or?
Well, we have, it's pretty well regulated in the U.S. We have centers of excellence that are accredited through our national society that look at your the numbers that you do, but also the outcomes, the safety, and every single patient is tracked as far as the outcomes in a database to make sure that safe surgery is being done. And this is one of the ways that we've been able to improve the safety over the years.
Yeah, Rich in Milwaukee has something relating to this, I believe. Rich, hello.
Hello. Hey, I wanted to say I had gastric bypass surgery 7 years ago, and I've lost a total of 200 pounds and have kept it off. And I would say one of the benefits was being able to get out and do stuff that I couldn't do when I was bigger. And I know there's people question about, well, are you hungry? And so, no, I'm not hungry. And I have learned how to eat in such a way that the dietary restrictions, higher protein, fat, no carbs, they're pretty much second nature to me now.
200 pounds. Rich, congratulations on that. Comment on that, Dr. Pfeiffer.
I mean, it's just fantastic. It's changed the rest of his life as far as his health goes. And the medical problems that he's going to either avoid or have improved, the ability to get down on the floor and play with children and grandchildren is something I hear about routinely from patients that are in the same situation as he is. And I really congratulate him on all that hard work. I mean, that's wonderful.
Yeah, Rich, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Deborah in West Bend will turn to you. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. My concern is that this type of drug may become something like oxycodone became in the past, and that people will misuse it, not be able to afford it, do crazy things in order to get money to afford it. And if it's lifelong, this can be the potential for lots of problems.
Yeah. Deborah, thank you for calling. What do you think, Dr. Pfeiffer?
These are all great points. We've seen what can happen when drug companies are left to market medications that aren't always the safest for patients. And we really need to think about how we're going to use these. These are powerful, really, really important medications to help treat one of the tools that we can use to treat obesity, which is such a big problem in this country. but how we go about doing that and how we roll it out, who gets to prescribe them, I think we have to do it in a very careful way so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, Deborah, thank you so much for those points. So when somebody comes to you because they want to lose weight, how do you proceed with them?
Yeah, we have there's a seminar online that they can watch and kind of learn about things. We can talk to them and give them a call and ask them what they're interested in, if it's surgical or non-surgical. We have providers that are able to offer both here where I work, which I think is important. And then we go from there. If they want to talk more about surgery, we get them in for a consultation. And the same is true with medications as well.
And just think, looking down the road here, what treatments for weight loss do you see anything in the near and far future?
Well, medications will certainly continue to improve. I think there are ones on the near horizon, and then as we learn more about the disease of obesity, we'll have more targeted treatments that become safer. I think surgery will have a role to play for the next, several decades, likely.
Yeah.
But as medicines improve, we learn how to treat it even better, maybe even with a combination of surgery and medicine, continuing to make surgery safer and more effective, and same with medications.
It'd be nice if we didn't have to inject every week if you're in that program.
The oral version will be very popular, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will be. Well, this has been really interesting to me, and I'm sure to our listeners as well, Dr. Pfeiffer. Thank you so much for being with us today, and hopefully we can get you back and talk some more with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry, for having me on, and I'm happy to talk more anytime.
Dr. Josh Pfeiffer is a bariatric and general surgeon at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. It was great to have him with us. He's given some really good answers to the questions that I had and to the ones that you had as well. And thanks so much for all the comments that you had for the show today. I really appreciate it. Just want to mention one more time, we're going to be broadcasting our show live from Bayfield in Bloom on May 31st, right at the top of the state. I'll be returning then, and I hope you can join me as we broadcast Garden Talk live. It's on the beautiful Lake Superior shore. We'll be doing 2 hours there. And as always, I'll be taking calls and questions and talking with expert guests from the area. One of my favorite events, and I'd certainly love to see you there. The doors open at 10:30 on May 31st, and the event is free. But we encourage you to reserve your spot. To do that, just go to wpr.org/presents, wpr.org/presents. Tomorrow, entomologist Phil Pelletieri is back with us to talk about spring insects and take your questions. Thanks for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on WPR. I'm Larry Mueller.